Thank you for joining Mechon Hadar's learning of Pirkei Avot in honor of our 10th year celebration.
This week's Dvar Torah is by Dina Weiss.
This week's Mishnayot are Perek Gimel, Chapter 3, Mishnayot Aleph through Gimel, Mishnas 1 through 3. We begin with Akavya ben Mahalalel. Akavya ben Mahalalel Omer, Histakel bishlosha dvarim, ve'i ataba lidei avera. He says, look at these three things, consider these three things, and you will not come to sin. Number one, da me'ayin bata, know from where you came. Number two, ula'an ata holeich, and where you are going. And number three, v'lifnei mi'ata atid litein din v'cheshbon, and before whom you are to give an account of your actions in the future. And Akavya then tells us the answers to all three of these concepts that we should be thinking about. What's the answer to me'ayin bata? From where did you come? Mitipas rucha, from a putrid drop. Presumably he's referring to a drop of semen. Ula'an ata holeich, and where are you going? Limakom afar rima v'toleya. Everybody is headed to the grave, a place of dust, rot, and worms. V'lifnei mi ata atid litein din v'cheshbon, and before whom are you going to give an accounting of your deeds? Lifnei melech malchei hamlachim hakadosh baruch hu, before the King of Kings, the Holy Blessed One. These three different facts, where we come from, where we're going, and before whom we will need to present an account of our lives, can be seen as in some sense responding to what drives sin. Why would a person sin? Either they think that they deserve to do the thing that they should not do, or they feel overwhelmingly like they want to do it and they just can't control themselves. And the third possibility is that you have no consequences. So you can do whatever you want because it doesn't really matter. And Akavya ben Mahalalel's three questions attack those three prongs. The notion that you just deserve whatever you want doesn't make sense if you think about who you really are, where you really came from. You really came from just a very small form of biological matter. In the scheme of things, you're not that important. La'an ata holeich, where you're going to the grave. This can be seen as pointing to the notion that you can't take it with you, right? So whatever you are interested in amassing, whatever you're interested in doing for your own glory to sort of get you beyond the level of being a tipas rucha, of being a small drop, actually, you're never really going to be able to hold on to those accomplishments. So it's not worth the sin. And of course, the notion that there's no consequences is belied by the fact that you are going to, at some point in the future, stand before God and have to account for all that you have done. This image of standing before God and giving din v'cheshbon, giving a just account of your deeds, is in some sense a more active form of an expression that we saw before, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtavim, that all of your deeds are being written down in a book. Akavya b'mehalalel has a much stronger image. It's not only that God, over the course of your life, is writing down all of your deeds. It's that you are going to have to go up to heaven and account for those deeds. You are going to have to stand face to face to God and say, here's what I did, here's what justified it. And when you really think about what that experience might be, when you're about to sin, it might be just frightening enough for you to reconsider those actions. Mishnah Bet, Mishnah number 2. Rabbi Chanina, Segan HaKohanim Omer. Rabbi Chanina, who was the assistant, the sort of vice Kohen, said, Heve mitpalel bishloma shamachut. Pray for the welfare of the kingdom or of the government. She'il malei mora'a, for were not for the fear of it, i.e. the fear of the government, ish et re'eu chayim below. A person would swallow their fellow alive. Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim, has a very different perspective on the world. Akavya b'mahalalel says, Just think about where you come from and where you're going. That should be enough to stop you from sin. Rabbi Chanina says, get real. The only thing that keeps people from sinning is not their fear of the Melech Machay Hamlachim, God, the King of Kings, but rather the fear of the Malchut. People would swallow each other alive if they weren't afraid of immediate, in this world, consequences. Mishnah Bet continues. Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon Omer. Rabbi Chananya, the son of Tradyon, says, Shnayim sheyoshvin ve'ein b'nehen divrei Torah, two people who are sitting together, but there are no words of Torah exchanged between them. Hareze moshav leitzim. This is considered to be a sitting of scoffers. Shene Amar, as it says, and he quotes the first verse in Tehillim, Uve moshav leitzim lo yashav. He did not sit in the sittings of the scoffers. And this first verse of Tehillim describes the person who is a tzaddik, the person who is a righteous man. That person would never sit with a bunch of scoffers. Aval, shnayim sheyoshvin v'yesh b'nehem divrei Torah, but two people who are sitting together and they exchange between them words of Torah, shechina b'nehem, God's heavenly presence is between them, is among them. Shene'emar, as the verse says, and here he's quoting Malachi, Az nidberu yirei Adonai ish al reyehu, vayakshev Adonai vayishma, vayikatev sefer zikaron lefanav liyirei Adonai ulechoshvei shemo. Then those who feared God spoke one to another, and God heard, and God listened, and it was recorded in a book before him for those who fear God and consider God's name. And the verses that just precede this one in Malachi describe essentially a bunch of leitzim, a bunch of scoffers who say there's no point in our being religious, there's no point in our being pious, actually it all goes to nothing. And after enough of this talk has transpired, the people who consider themselves Yirei Adonai, the people who consider themselves those who fear God, get up and say, if not to the leitzim, at least to one another, actually something needs to be said here, there is truth, there is reason, and God is hearing them. God is hearing the conversation that is happening between the people who fear God. We continue. Ein li ala shnayim. From this verse in Malachi, I only know that when two people sit together and exchange words of Torah, that the Shechina, the divine presence, is there. Minayin shafilu achad. How do I know that even one person, sheyoshev ve'osek b'Torah, who sits and engages in Torah study, shakadosh baruch hu koveya lo sachar, that God will set for him a reward. Shene'emar, as the pasuk says, and here he quotes a verse from Eicha, from the third chapter of Eicha, where Yirmiyahu talks about himself and his own suffering and his own position in the world. Yeshev badad ve'idom, he sits alone and is silent, ki natal alav, because he has taken a lot upon himself. And the pshat of the pasuk is a very sad pshat, that here Yirmiyahu feels alone, like he doesn't have any allies, like he's suffering on his own. And the reason why he's sitting quietly and sitting alone is because he has already accepted so much pain upon himself. And the drasha in this pasuk that Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon is suggesting is that when somebody sits by themselves and is silent, as opposed to a conversation with a chavruta, which is an audible type of Torah learning, we're imagining someone sitting and meditating on the word of God by themselves, that person, natal alav, that person is going to take upon themselves, will have something, a type of reward that they can grab onto in the course of this study. Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah 3. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, and presumably this Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Shlosha she'achlu al shulchan echad. Three that are sitting at one table, eating at one table. So we're continuing the image of people who are sitting together and discussing or not discussing the word of God. And Rabbi Shimon places this in the context of a meal. three who are sitting together at a meal. V'lo amru alav divrei Torah, and they did not say upon it, presumably the meal or the table, any words of Torah. Ke'ilu achlu mizivchei metim, it's as if they've eaten from the sacrifices of the dead. And here, the dead is a derogatory term for other gods. Our God is alive, as it were, in the sense that our God is powerful and our God is able to intervene in the world. Their gods are dead in the sense that they are made of inanimate matter. Shene Amar, as it says, Ki kol shulchanot mal'u ki tzo'a b'li makom. In Yeshayahu's description of the altars to these foreign gods, it says that all of their tables are full of vomit and excrement, b'li makom, in the literal sense that there's no clean place, right? They're so covered with the avodah zarah, they're so covered with the remnants of idol worship, that there's no clean place. They're covered with this debris of sacrifice. And presumably the drasha here is that makom in the verse means just a clean place, but Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is reading it as makom with a capital Mem, the place or the omnipresent. So now the verse reads, all of their tables are full of vomit and excrement, and there's no room for God. And he continues, aval, shlosha she'achlu al shulchan echad, but three people that sat together at one table, ve'amru alav divrei Torah, and said upon it, the meal or the table, words of Torah, it's as if they've eaten from the table of Hamakom, right, the omnipresent, Baruch Hu, may he be blessed. Shene Amar, as it says, Vayedaber Eli, Zeha Shulchan Asher Lifnei Adonai. And he quotes a verse from Yechezkel, and he said to me, this is the table that is before God. This verse is from Yechezkel, Perek Mem Aleph, from Ezekiel 41, which contains in it the description of the heavenly temple. And Yechezkel is being shown around to the different parts of the temple. And then there's one moment where the narration breaks, and the verse says, Vayedaber Eli, he spoke to me and says, this is the table that is before God. And because the verb of speaking comes right here with the description of the shulchan, of the table, which is really the mizbeach, which is really the altar, we have this image of any table that has this dibur, that has the speaking on it, is considered to be a table that is before God. Just to recap, because this Mishnah is a little bit confusing, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is contrasting groups of three that are eating a meal. And the reason why Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai would use the number three is because that is our standard for a zimun. That is our standard for a meal that's considered to be eaten with a group, upon which you would do the special Birkat HaMazon that invokes the name of God. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, your table that you are eating your meal on can fall into one of two categories. We know, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, that the words table, shulchan, and mizbeach, altar, can be used interchangeably in Tanakh. So your individual table actually should be seen as an altar of God. And if the kinds of conversations that you're having on your table are meaningless conversations, are conversations that are essentially of waste, of vomit, or of excrement, then there's no space for God. Then God isn't present at your table, which is, in some sense, an altar. However, if your table is constantly invoking God, bringing Vayedaber Eli, bringing the words of God into the meal, then this table, which you might have thought as being very mundane, actually transforms itself into the altar upon which we would bring legitimate sacrifices. And the image of eating from the table of God is the image of sharing a meal with God. And the time that we share a meal with God is when we bring a sacrifice and some of the food on the table gets burnt up, sent to God. Some of the food on the table, some of the sacrifice, is eaten by the people who bring the sacrifice, and of course the Kohanim who officiate the sacrifice. In the third chapter of the second Mishnah, Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion talks about the importance of when two people are sitting together, that they should engage in Torah study. And he goes on to say that even when a person is alone, they should be careful to engage in Torah study. And he brings a proof for the reward for this kind of Torah study. And his proof is somewhat perplexing. His proof comes from Eicha. It's an image of Yirmiyahu sitting among ruins. Yirmiyahu is sitting among devastation. There are so many beautiful verses about studying Torah. Why would Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion choose a verse that describes Yirmiyahu sitting among the devastation of the destruction of Jerusalem, sitting by himself and suffering? By way of understanding why this verse is slightly apt, I want to share a personal story. When I was younger, I studied in the Midrashah for a year between when I graduated from high school and I went to college. And for one of the classes that I was in that midrashah, I just couldn't find the right match for a chavruta. I tried learning with everybody in the class, and it just didn't fit. And it was a small class, and it seemed that everybody else would be better off if they were able to pair off into twos, and I would sit and learn by myself. It wasn't an optimal situation, but I did it, and I made it through, and I used a lot of paper, and the paper became my chavruta. And one day, I'm sitting there, learning by myself, maybe being silent the way that Yirmiyahu was, and one of the teachers in the Midrashah, not the teacher of this class, but another teacher of mine, came up to me and said something that I think he thought was clever. He definitely thought that he was being supportive and kind, but something that actually really stuck with me. He said, and he meant this with total kindness, he said, "You know what they say about someone who learns by themselves?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "They have a fool for a chavruta." And this was his gentle way of encouraging me to find someone else to learn with, by arguing that really when you learn by yourself, you're actually making things worse. And there are other rabbinic statements to the effect that when somebody learns by themselves, it's actually metapesh. It actually makes you stupid. And I think that Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion is choosing this really devastating verse to talk about what it means to learn by yourself, is to say that, yes, learning by yourself can be truly isolating. Learning by yourself is not the best way to learn. But nevertheless, you still receive reward. Nevertheless, there is still something there in your Torah learning that even though it's hard, and maybe perhaps because it's even harder, because you have to overcome the isolation, overcome the risk of making yourself dumber, that you're able to actually achieve something, if not in your intellectual gain, but something that's worth a sechar, something that's worth a reward. And I like to think that when someone learns by themselves, it's not that they have a fool for a chavruta. It's that they have God for a chavruta. When you learn with yourself, you run some risk of not seeing all of the mistakes that you could make, of not being able to gain from the expertise of a teacher or a chavruta. But there is a kind of intimacy there, where it's just you and the Torah and God. And it's not a triangle between you and someone else and the text. It's a triangle between you, the text, and the Shekhinah. And in that sense, Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion uses this very devastating pasuk to speak to people who feel really alone, really isolated in their religious practice, in their learning, in their communities, people who feel that they don't have a chavruta. Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion wants to say, yeah, that's not ideal. That's really hard. And your learning is not going to be as good. You are going to feel like you are suffering the way that Yirmiyahu suffered alone in the devastation of Jerusalem. But know that there is still sechar for you, there's still reward,
And I like to say that you have the Shekhinah. You have God, God's self, who is, of course, the best Chavruta.
Next week's Mishnayot are Perek Gimel, Chapter 3, Mishnayot Dalet through Vav, Mishnas 4 through 6.
For more opportunities to be involved in our 10th year celebration, please visit mechonhadar.org/siyum, join us on Thursday, March 2nd for our Siyum celebration, and be a part of our first ever National Shabbaton for March 3rd through 5th, 2017.